Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house, and I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love, anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
This is the 20-somethingth of October 2023. That's so you know immediately whether or not it's the correct date. Sorry about last week. That was kind of a weird confluence of things. Dory, I'm not blaming Dory. Obviously, it's my fault because I put it together ultimately and found the ad breaks and listened to them and still didn't realize it was a different episode. But Dory had cleaned out the Dropbox we share for Excellent Adventure. Like, cleaned it completely. Like, it was such a mess. She went in there and cleaned everything up, except for one folder that happened to be, it's happened to say 10-16, so I looked at it, oh, this is the episode coming out on the 16th, great, I opened it up, and in there was two separate audio tracks.
And because we had recorded on Monday, it was the 16th,
yes.
Otherwise it would have been the 15th.
Right. And on top of that, we just happened to last year, like 1 year earlier, we happened to record on
Riverside.
So there were two separate, which most of the time last year, we were in here in my office. So I opened it up 10-16 and I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, this is definitely it. Perfect. Pull them in. Choo-choo. Do a leveling.
Now, I had texted you the link to the correct files. I just want to state that for the record.
I don't believe you, but
I did.
Oh, whatever. The point is that I then put up the wrong episode from the year previous. I'm just going up here to make sure that she didn't text me the episode because I don't think she did. Although she was gone that weekend. Yeah, no, she didn't text me the name. You didn't text me the episode. Just so you can back off. You sent me a screenshot. And you showed me, aren't these files correct? And I was like, what's funny is because they are still our name, Matt Myra and Dory, like all the way down to like the file numbering name, whatever. Point is, I put out the wrong episode. This is the right episode. I'm sorry, everybody. Then on the Patreon side of things.
Are you sure even when you reposted it that the audio was correct? Did you listen to it?
What are you talking about?
Because we got messages saying that the Bake Off
audio. Well, I can't check it right now because we're recording a podcast.
Didn't play. And then I redid it.
Yeah.
And I reposted it. And then like 2 days later, someone was like, did you know that the audio isn't
playing? They might have gotten it to their podcatcher.
Oh, I see.
The original app. So I'm going to assume that's what happened. I'm going to go in here now.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we?
I mean, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Look, let's sort out everything, okay? Let's sort out all of our kerfufflings just so we're positive whether or not it's my fault, which it seems to be. So thank you. GBBO Patreon. Let's see. That's Halloween week from last year. You know what it is? It's these dates are like so close to each other.
Yeah.
That whatever. Okay. This is silly. And I'm so sorry. Anyway, if you happen to get the wrong episode last week, go back, check the file again, re-download. You'll see that is it's the episode it should have been originally. I'm sorry. Okay. We also recorded on two separate days because Dory had been away for the weekend and then we sort of just were like too exhausted by the time Sunday night rolled around. And then we're in a similar situation today where we're super exhausted and we no longer have,
sorry to give you like this like very boring behind the scenes look into our lives,
you know,
but we no longer have Sunday afternoon childcare, which has had a sort of like ripple effect on everything.
I would say it's a cascade effect.
It's a cascade failure. I don't think I quite realized like how much work I got done on Sunday afternoons.
Yes. And also how that sort of slotted us for recording.
Yes.
Especially when adding the Patreon episodes.
Right.
Because like, you know, you could slide.
And we lost.
We always knew we were going to record on Sunday.
We lost that childcare right when we
decided to do
the extra episode. So
that also happens to get done the same time.
That also don't come out till Friday.
I know.
That's part of the issue too. If they came out like on Wednesday,
oh yeah,
it would just like make it a lot easier. But you know, whatever. Basically, in the past, Sunday had just kind of been another like half work day for us, and now it no longer is, and because of Henry and because we record together, it's not like one of us can take him while the other one like does the podcast.
I had the thought today that like it'd be funny if you had tried while I had taken Henry out to the craft store and to get a muffin in the morning. I was like, it would have been very funny if you tried to record the podcast your half and then I had to listen to it and pretend I was in a conversation with you.
That would be funny. I could write a script and then we could like
I would do the perfect.
Yeah. I did record the podcast for the paid subscribers of my newsletter because I'm doing like a weekly pop culture roundup thing. And I did manage to get that done.
What a value add. Way to go.
It is a value add. People seem to be enjoying it. And it's just like fun for me because I get to rant about things for
Dory
like 20 minutes.
Dory has always been a person who has needed a pop culture corner. You know, she's needed an outlet to express her views.
I like a pop culture corner.
You like to have a literal like news segment.
I do.
So there you go. I think that's wonderful. Head over and subscribe to her newsletter.
Thank you. It's dory.substack.com. There's Substack offers you a 7-day free trial, so you can always just like listen to a bunch of them and decide.
Try it. Please forget. If you want to subscribe. It'd be great. I'd appreciate it.
Anyway, whatever. Matt took Henry this morning. I took Henry this afternoon, but you know, we need to be together to record. So
this podcast, yeah.
That didn't really help this situation. And then Henry we actually went to visit a different babysitter of ours who just had a baby. Henry and I went, and he was like very intrigued by the whole baby situation. It was very interesting. He didn't want to hold the baby, but he did want to like shove a pacifier in the baby's mouth.
That's pretty cool.
And I was like, okay, gentle. Anyway, point being, he fell asleep on the way home. And like usually, oh, and also last night we went to like a Halloween light show thing at the Descanso Gardens, which is like a kind of like a local botanical garden. And
we had a real basic bitch annoying weekend.
And then
because we took family photos before that and he wouldn't sit still for them.
So annoying. And then he didn't go to sleep till like 8:30, which is very late for him. And I think he got up at his normal time.
Oh, for sure.
So he was tired, and then he fell asleep on the way home from Katie's house. And usually when he falls asleep in the car, he just like wakes up and goes about his business when we get home.
Yeah.
And this time he was like, he just like flopped into my arms and wanted to sleep more. And I was just like, I'm not going to force you to stay up.
What we should have done was record it immediately.
It's true. So he basically napped and then didn't fall asleep till almost 9.
It's now 9:12 p.m. on Sunday night and we're recording this.
Yeah. And, you know, usually he's out by and like 7:15.
We are also out at that point. Do you know what I mean? Like we have like,
totally. It's been a
this
full
is our bedtime.
It's been a full weekend of Henry, who is great, but, you know, a lot.
Is great. Yes, but also is 4.5.
He's really 4.5. There was like a little parent party for our preschool.
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we just had a crazy weekend. Like there was a parent party for our preschool that we went to on Friday night, and I was talking to another mom I know whose daughter is like 6 months older than Henry, and she was like, "Yeah, you know, once my daughter turned 5, it was like so much easier. 4.5 was just really rough." And I was suddenly like, oh, Henry's almost 4.5.
Yeah.
He has been a little, like, tougher lately.
He's been a little bit of a shithead.
Matt keeps calling him a shithead, which I don't think is very nice.
Because he's behaving like one. He's acting like a shithead.
I know, but
he's, like, purely doing things to be a shithead.
I don't think that is a nice way to refer to him.
And then I'm saying to Henry, "Henry, did you just do that because you wanted to get us mad and break it?" And he goes, "Yeah." Like, it's things like that that are like, that's a shithead move. I don't say this to him.
He also, when I was like finally trying to get him to go to sleep, I like went back in his room with him and I said, "Okay, I will sit here with you until you fall asleep," which is not something I typically do. But I was just like, he needs to fucking go to sleep. And I was like, "But I'm not going to talk. Like, we're not talking. We're just going to be quiet." And he goes, "This is my room, so I get to decide."
Yeah.
Like it's a big thing for him. And like my response is usually, "Well, I'm the mama, so I get to decide." He does not like that.
What a weekend. He doesn't like ultimate authority. He also thinks he's stronger than me. He thinks he's the strongest person in the house, which, you know,
I mean, he's probably whatever. The second strongest person in the house.
Maybe.
Beau's probably
he's like,
than
he's
him.
Like, "I could probably pick you up." And I'm like, "Henry." No way. And then what else?
I mean,
he watched Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 yesterday. Like, he watched 2 full movies.
And then he was mad that he didn't get to play.
And then he was mad that he didn't have time to play because we left at 2:00 in the afternoon to go get our family photos taken and then do Descanso's nighttime pumpkin watch. And then today I tried to make squash soup and it was a big fail. I broke the Vitamix plunger thing.
Yep.
Broke that. Like, you know, you're watching Hell's Kitchen and you see these chefs like use the Vitamix and then stupidly pull the top of it off and then hit the button. And then I did it today and I put the plunger all the way in there. It was terrible. Anyway, I made some noodles too, some cheesy noodles, and then asked Henry how his day was. He said it was thumbs middle. And we're like, "Oh, why was it thumbs middle?" He goes, "Dinner." So.
And he just said it so matter-of-factly.
Yeah. He was like very disappointed in dinner, but like not mad about it or anything. He's like, no, dinner sucked. So.
He was basically like, well, the croutons were good.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that I made.
Yeah. So I'm actually, who said it? Did he say that Mama is supposed to cook now? What is it? I'm not allowed to cook, essentially, is what he told me.
Honestly, it's always like a little validating because I feel like sometimes Matt takes my dinner making for granted.
I don't. I'm just like trying to help when I can. You know what I mean? So I saw squash soup. I knew you were going to be out. And I was like, I could do that.
Yeah, but I had planned the day timing wise so that I would be home in time to make the soup.
You didn't tell me that.
Well, but because you had already like taken it upon yourself to make the soup. And
because
I was like,
when you were making the menu, I okay. said, I'll make the squash soup.
Oh, I didn't
in the Vitamix.
That. I thought it was just we can make the squash soup in the Vitamix. I didn't know that you had decided to make the squash soup in the Vitamix.
Whatever. The point is, I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
So. Well, you're definitely not allowed to use the Vitamix for dinner anymore.
Can't wait to see what Dory's Thanksgiving turkey is like.
Oh, I will never cook Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, whatever. That's up to you. Well, Henry, probably not allow me to do it. So,
listen, we last time we had Thanksgiving dinner at home, we got it from Bristol Farms, which is like a fancy grocery store here in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
and I thought it was very good.
It was fine.
Like it was, yes, but we didn't have to cook it.
I wouldn't have given the day a thumbs middle based on that dinner. Instead of a thumbs up.
Before we take a break, the correct episode last week, there was a lot of talk about Cameo. Mm-hmm. Because I had gotten Matt a Cameo from Jason from Hell's Kitchen mm-hmm. for our anniversary. And we did a big thing about like who was charging a lot on Cameo and who seemed popular and all this stuff. And then literally like 3 days later, there was a big article in the New York Times about how horribly Cameo is doing.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder if we prompted that.
The subhead is a startup that offers fans a way to buy personalized videos from celebrities was supercharged by pandemic boredom and venture capital. All it had to do was grow forever.
All it had to do was grow forever.
Needless to say, it did not grow forever. It is like a very in-depth, long article about how like Cameo basically like flew too close to the sun.
Oh, well, I hope Cameo in some form stays with us.
And they went from almost 400 employees to 33.
There was no need for Cameo ever to have 400 employees.
Correct. That is correct.
Unless each of them was specifically handling one of their celebrities.
Well, there was this funny part about how at one point they like So they had to reach out to at least 100 people per day to try to get them on Cameo, which is why, like, if you remember,
that's why they were reaching out to us.
Yes, exactly. Like they were really like digging deep mm-hmm. for a while.
Yeah.
And William Shatner of Star Trek complained several times on Twitter about how Cameo's employees were relentless in hounding celebrities to death and swore he'd never join.
I mean, Shatner would have made a mint.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But that's so Shatner to be like, oh, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought that was funny that like the timing was very funny. I agree. I hope that Cameo sticks around. I think it is like a funny, great service.
I mean, it should, you know, if it goes away, it can be restructured into something like that. That service seems viable if you have the right money behind it. You know, it's not something that needed $1 billion.
Right. Exactly. They got too much money behind it.
Yeah.
We did get a voicemail about Cameo. We could play that now or we could play it after the break.
Well, why don't we take the break? And okay. Then we'll come back and discuss Cameo for another 400 hours.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like, I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house. And I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love. Anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you. Hi, we're back. Thanks for being back with us again. You're listening to the correct episode. Don't worry.
Oh, and just a reminder, you can email us at DoryandMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com. They go to the same place. You can call or text us at 413-461-BABY. We love getting your voicemails and your texts. And we are on Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure, where we are recapping the Great British Bake Off / baking show every week.
And the, you know, our episode comes out sometime after we see it. So
we try to get it out by Monday.
Oh my God. It's such a, and you realize that like by then it's like 2 days until it airs in England.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, that's how,
I mean, I also don't think everyone is watching it the second it goes up on Netflix.
I disagree. I know that we do. We used to.
We try to, but then like things got complicated.
Things got complicated. Holly, come back. all right.
Okay. Let's hear these cameo voicemails. They're two from the same person. It's like one is a, whatever. We'll just play.
Part one. Oh, wait. I can't do that yet because I didn't. She's like, are you ready for the voicemails? I was like, yeah. And now I'm not. So.
Matt and Dory, this is Kim calling from a small ski town in Ontario. I just finished listening to your episode about cameos, and I can't believe you guys don't do cameos, and I think you guys should do cameos. I would love to see a cameo of Dory and Kate and Dory and Matt and Matt and Andy. And as a big priced item, I would love to see all four of you together on a cameo with Matt and Dory in the middle and Kate on one side and Matt and Andy on the other side. And I think that'd be awesome. Andy's especially seeing how Dory, you said you were just looking for a quick get rich quick scheme.
I was.
That is not a get rich quick scheme.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I think that'd be
that is a get underwhelmed immediately scheme.
Great. I don't think you can get rich off of it, but
exactly.
Definitely be extra income for you guys. And I think it'd be an awesome idea. I'd definitely get one.
Oh, thank you.
Like I said, this is Kim. I have a 1,200 square foot century old home, one husband, one 22-year-old kid who's moved back because he's working remotely. Yay. And
I don't
one
believe
20
that.
Pound
yay,
puppy
for a second.
Called Wicket.
Oh my God. That was incredibly timed.
Bye.
Wow. Whippets are very smart.
That was like a very well trained bark.
You can play the second part of her voicemail. Sure. It's just her stats.
Hi, this is Kim calling back again.
Didn't she give them all? No hot dogs.
Because I forgot that we have three TVs, the biggest one being 64 inches.
Nice.
That's a, in the media, in a TV room. And also numerous hot dogs. But I'm curious as to whether Matt considers hot dogs with cheese rolled in a crescent, Pillsbury crescent roll, hot dog or not.
I mean, I consider them delicious.
So, then tons of hot dogs.
But I don't consider them hot dogs per se.
I feel like if you have to ask if something is a hot dog, it's not a hot dog.
Yeah. The specificity of a hot dog is the bun and certain toppings. Anyway, thank you for being a person who would like us to be on Cameo. We appreciate you.
I feel like it would be too much of a blow to my ego to be on Cameo if like no one bought the Cameos.
Correct.
And then I would just...
And it's like, what could we charge? $5?
Right. Like I would get depressed and then it would be not great. But we appreciate you, Kim. People have occasionally emailed us and asked us for like birthday videos and such for their significant others, and we've always just asked for a donation to a reproductive rights organization.
In fairness,
of your choice.
Dory has. I don't ask for anything.
And Matt doesn't care.
She's just like, we got to do this, and I'm like, okay.
Okay. This is kind of funny. We did get a couple of emails that referenced things that were mentioned in the episode from a year ago.
This is fucking phenomenal.
That, like, I think people just,
our lives are so nothing. Like, nothing has happened in the last year. So much so that people are emailing us about the last year's show. It's amazing.
Yes. And, like, you know, I assume just, like, they just listen to whatever episode pops up. They don't, like, read the show notes because why would they? There were some people who read the show notes and were like, the show notes don't match the episode description, the episode. Okay. So, because first I read these and I was like, did we talk about that? And
I love this. This is fantastic to me.
Okay. TL writes, hello. I had to pause the pod. Have you thought of getting a net like they use at a golf range?
Great news.
Maybe a fishing net on poles would help with the lost ball situation?
I have pretty much solved that problem. I've probably since that podcast recorded in the last year, I would say only two balls have left the yard.
Great.
Yeah.
On another note, have you watched Taskmaster?
No, I know of it, and I was kind of interested in seeing the year where I can't remember the actress's name from the IT Crowd. Not that Dory would remember the name, but the year she was on. Because it was like, oh, finally a person I know is on that, on Taskmaster.
It is a British show that you can watch for free on YouTube. I think Matt would be great hosting a show like this.
I'd love to still host shows, so, you know, find me.
I hope everyone is feeling better this week. Love the show,
not,
TL.
Not much better, TL, but thank you.
And then Sean wrote, "Hey, Matt and Dory, I was listening to the latest episode, reminding me to chime in regarding notaries in Delaware."
Oh, yes. The notary discussion from last year. Let's hear it.
"I've been a notary in Delaware for the past 7 years. My process involved a few extra steps as I work for a financial institution which paid for my notary commission and the subsequent renewals. Delaware has some requirements up front, I'm sure similar to other states, at least 18 years old, legal resident of the state, read and write English, good character and reputation, no criminal record, or if convicted, rights must have been fully restored."
Nice. Pardon, full and presidential pardon.
"Certified background check also needed, and you must have, quote, reasonable need for a notary commission. Assuming all those are met, there is an application process with a fee. After those are accepted and processed, you must take your notarial oath before another notary and return the notarized oath to the state office and wait for confirmation of the final receipt and acceptance by the state.
I hereby promise to sign here and initial there.
After that, you can order your materials, go forth and notarize for the duration of the commission." Oh, you probably get your stamp.
Yeah.
The state does not require any training, testing, or certification. However, my employer requires all employees applying for a notary commission to attend the company's own notary training, which consists of 6 hours of classroom education and a test prior to applying for the commission from the state. I don't need to notarize very often after switching departments a few
years
back.
What is this company that's pumping out notarized documents?
I'm fascinated. But the company continues to pay for renewals, and I usually get to notarize some work documents every couple months. Though I am a notary for the state and could perform notaries outside of work, I have always just kept it all locked up at work for the sake of simplicity. This ended up being a bit longer than I had planned.
And
anyway,
like, you're in Delaware, so you might be like, you're in one of those like shell business buildings where it's like, you know, we're going to register in Delaware because of the beneficial business climate.
Yeah, Delaware. Delaware is like the Curacao
of the United States.
The United States.
That's exactly how I would have described it.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, all the best. 1650 square feet, 3 TVs, 60 inch in living room, 43 inch in den, 32 inch in bedroom. You don't really hear people referring to rooms as dens that much anymore.
I mean, we were a big den family. We had a den. The den was not the living room.
Mm-hmm.
The living room was separate from the den.
I feel like now people call them like a family room. Like, I'm just saying, you don't hear the word den as
much. I'd like to
anymore.
Bring it back.
Okay, we can do that.
What do you think? I mean, does it have to be like cozier to be a den, or?
I feel like a den does imply cozy, but family rooms are generally cozy, and I feel like that's some people like don't have a TV in the living room.
There's always like the front room too. Which is the
front room is usually, yeah, right, is more formal. And then the family room is often like attached to the kitchen or like,
right,
you know, whatever. 32 inch in bedroom, 10 hot dogs in 2023. I appreciate that he has kept track. Sean in Delaware, and Sean adds, "PS, crossing fingers for a new FEEB any day now."
Oh, yeah. That's Sean, all it takes is like people like you to just keep reminding me. And, like, it will happen. It's like the end of the Peter Pan play when they all got to get together for Tinkerbell.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, that was, like, a fun little...
Oh, also, the sidetrack regarding... Yes. Henry thought he had watched one movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had watched Ghostbusters 1 and 2... And I think because it had the same people in it, he just assumed the movie was still going, even though we had to put in a Blu-ray, which he was also interested and fascinated by the physical media.
Mm.
So there you go. Just thought I'd drop that in.
I did think it was funny that he thought it was one movie.
Well, it does say 5 years later. Did what?
It looks like
it's continuous.
It looked like it paused for a second.
Nah.
Anyway, we did also get some emails about the.
He did a number of times during the two movies. Go. Why are they busting ghosts?
I know. I thought that was so funny.
Are they gonna bust them?
When are they gonna bust ghosts? He also said. Because Matt was like, oh, that's where Mama went to school. Because It's on the Columbia campus.
Oh yeah, the first Ghostbusters. towards the end of the movie, in the climax, Gozer causes a little earthquake outside the apartment building on Central Park West, and the car goes like into the sidewalk and the cement, and then the Ghostbusters fall into a hole. So he asked if that happened to Mama.
Didn't he? I thought he asked if like there were ghosts on the campus when I was there.
No, he wanted to know specifically if the earthquake happened to you.
Oh. And then didn't he also want to know if they had repaired
He wanted to know when the street got repaired.
I thought he wanted to know when the building got
repaired. He was like, it was probably going to happen the same day.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big, like, public works guy, you know? Yeah. He sort of sees things as public works projects. He asked, might have talked about this last week, but he did ask when the tree branch that fell in Back to the Future, when the lightning storm was happening, he asked when that would get put in the wood chipper.
That's because they've been They've been trimming trees in our neighborhood, and so they've had like wood chippers around, and he's like very interested in them.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, don't get close to them.
No. Show them Fargo. You won't get close to them.
Yeah. All right. Let's read an email from the actual last episode from Cindy. Just wanted to add my thoughts on the person who's debating on a second child after having preeclampsia. I would caution only having your OBGYN caring for you. Definitely have a team, including an MFM and cardiologist on your team. With my son, I started to have higher blood pressure at our scheduled C-section at 38 weeks. For my daughter, I was seen by an MFM, OB, and a cardiologist, and I developed preeclampsia at 34 weeks and had an emergency C-section. It was so bad that my kidneys were starting to fail. I developed postpartum eclampsia, which everyone thinks that eclampsia is solved with delivery. It's not always the case. My blood pressure could not be controlled, and I had to go to the ICU for a day to help control my blood pressure. I was in the hospital for a week after delivery, and my daughter was in the NICU for 16 days. It was the worst experience I've had in my entire life, and I still struggle when I think about that time. I guess that is PTSD, probably should be in therapy, but I digress. Both of my kids were conceived via IVF, so who knows if that was the trigger. Both my cardiologist and OB said I really should not get pregnant again, as I would most likely develop preeclampsia again, and maybe even worse. My OB insisted that my hubby get the snip. Since, as he put it, I've been through too much to have another surgery, while his vasectomy would be quick and easy. Thumbs up for my OB.
I really hope your OB was like, hubby, it's time for the snip.
And we are happy now with our two kiddos and no birth control needed, because our luck would be we would have a miracle pregnancy after needing IVF to get pregnant.
Hey, it's not 100%.
Now looking back,
you know, miracles can happen.
If I had to give any advice to anyone who went through preeclampsia and wants to have another baby, have a team advocating for you. Check out preeclampsia.org. Have the conversation with your cardiologist, MFM, and OB. They should all have your well-being as paramount, and should give you a plan on how they will monitor you and what medications you will be on while pregnant. I cannot say it enough, but preeclampsia is nothing to just brush away as something that can be easily dealt with, as in my case, it could have killed me. Plus, I've now developed hypertension, and I'm on two meds to control my blood pressure, but thankfully, my kidneys are not damaged. Much love to you and this very hard decision. Love, Sydney. Cindy, who's in 1,500 square feet on Long Island, a 55-inch TV in the basement, a 40-inch TV in the living room, handful of hot dogs this year. But funny enough, my 9-year-old son watched a Modern Marvels episode on cold cuts and says he will no longer eat hot dogs, processed cheese, or Spam. So we may no longer be having hot dogs. Wow. Or he may change his mind by next summer. I mean, I hate to say it, but I think your son's right.
I want to watch the Modern Marvels episode on cold cuts.
They're so bad for you.
You got to see pastrami.
They're so bad for you.
Oh, my God. Get over it. Okay, lady?
I mean,
Just have some bologna and enjoy
it. No. I won't. I won't have bologna.
Have a nice ham on rye.
All right. We are going to take...
I don't like rye, but just for the record, in case anyone's wondering.
We are going to take another little breaky break.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, we're back.
Hello. Okay, we have an email, and it is from Jill, who says, I've been writing notes to myself to email the pod, but I keep forgetting to follow through. But here I am. I made it finally. First, I wanted to say that a few weeks back, Dory was talking about the feeling of being hot and sweaty while also feeling cold. I think I landed on the accurate word for that. I was feeling that hot, sweaty, damp New England chill of fall, and my brain thought clammy. Clammy is the word, I think. Humid and sticky, but still cool. And this new climate change fall, which is randomly hot, feels even clammier now that I have to chase my 2.5-year-old around the playground on a humid in-between don't-know-how-to-dress New England fall day. Yeah. Did I get it? Is that the feeling, Dory? Yes, clammy is accurate.
We're in a real do-not-how-to-dress kind of time.
Yeah, we are. That's true.
Like, you know, it's not the hopefulness of wanting to wear a jacket as often is the case in Los Angeles. It's very different because it's like, you'll check the weather. It's like, that temperature could not be right. Then you go outside and you're like, oh, and it's humid.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it is. Ugh. The other reason I'm writing is because I just had a frozen embryo transfer on Monday and I'm looking for some positive embryo sticking energy. I had 3 failed natural cycle transfers last year, took a break for almost a year, and then went for it with a fully medicated cycle for this round. I think it will be my last time trying because the emotional roller coaster is a lot. Also, there's another uterus in the family. My wife has volunteered to try if this round doesn't work. Anyway, I really want to be pregnant again, so I'm hoping this one sticks. The egg single I'm sending out is just for good thoughts and wishes from the eggheads. Thanks for keeping me sane during this IVF journey. Jill from just outside Boston with a wife.
A wife.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Science toddler, big dog.
I missed
dog,
the last one, so I was sure to get that
and
one.
And 1,700 square feet with 55 and 42-inch TVs. And my son just had his first Costco hot dog this summer, of which I ate 1/8 because he didn't want to share.
Rude. Henry's first Costco hot dog really just was about him eating bread and ketchup.
Oh.
I think all hot dogs are vessels for ketchup for him, but he did eat the whole hot dog on Saturday.
No, he didn't.
He did eat a lot of it.
He ate a lot of it, but he did not eat the whole thing. Well, Jill, sending good vibes. I hope that it worked out. Please keep us posted. And yeah, clammy. That's it. All right. We got a text from someone who needs advice. We're changing our 1-year-old's car seat this week, and we don't know what to do with our old car seat. It's a 3-year-old Cybex. I've heard you can't donate it because of safety reasons, but it's in really good shape, and I can't imagine the only option is to throw it away. Any ideas? You know, I see people giving away car seats all the time. The car seat safety people will tell you not to do this. We've gotten emails from people who say, don't do this. Don't say you can do this. So I'm giving that disclaimer. People say you shouldn't do this. If you are confident that the car seat has never been in an accident and it has not expired and it has not been like out in the sun, I personally do not see an issue with giving it away. But some people do. So I leave it to you. That is my personal belief.
Good people on both sides.
Do your own research. The other option, Target, like a couple times a year, has an event where you can bring in an old car seat and they'll give you a coupon for like 20% off, I think, or maybe more. I think it's 20 of other baby items. So if you know that you are in the market for like some other big ticket item, you can like bring in your old car seat.
Like once you're getting rid of a car seat, it's like, I'm getting rid of this because I don't want more baby stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, but maybe you need a new pack and play? I don't know.
One of those Glide rocking chairs?
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Yeah. So those are my ideas. Emily wrote in to ask, it's been interesting and discouraging to hear about Matt's struggle to obtain his medication. I appreciate you two talking about ADHD. I think I'm remembering correctly that Dory read a book for partners of adults with ADHD. So Dory, can you remind me of the title? I looked on your Amazon shop, but couldn't find it. That's because I haven't read one. It's possible I talked about one and recommended one.
Yes.
But I have not read, actually
I'm remembering a similar situation, which may be an ADHD thing. You're just like, what, that giant moth bug?
Yeah.
That was a new addition that came in when you had left that door open.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I try not to keep that door open.
Mm.
But thank you.
You're welcome. So sorry. What I always suggest is to go look up Allie Ward's Ologies episodes, because she.
Oh yes, that sounds familiar.
She talks about ADHD and partners of ADHD, and then Casey wrote in to say, that her therapist recommended the ADHD Dude, whose website is ADHDdude.com. He's got a YouTube channel and has appeared on a few parenting/mental health podcasts. Just search his name in Apple Podcasts. And Matt, you definitely sounded perkier. I think that was the word on the last episode.
I love being perky.
Y'all are awesome.
Thank you. Goodbye. Hang on 1 second. Crisis averted. Back.
Hello.
Hey guys, that wasn't even a commercial break.
No, but we had to.
I killed the bug. With a 3-iron, with a Nike 3-iron.
He did.
I'm sorry. Guys, it was a 3-wood. Thank you, a 3-iron.
Okay.
What a goofball.
Well, Christine is wondering, what is your favorite thing to do with Henry solo? And what is your least favorite outing with Henry solo? I've got 4 kids, and I found when my youngest, twins, Henry's age, were little, I took them out and about more. Now that they can all walk, talk, and have opinions, I dread any outing. So much more. I'm a teacher and my husband works full time. So summer, I get them all solo for much of the time. Anyway, what about you? I love that you get to go to Disneyland so often and hearing about your adventures with Henry. Christine in Wisconsin, but up north close to Lake Superior, the Porcupine Mountains are our Disneyland.
Nice. Favorite activities to do with Henry solo. I don't even know what that really means. I mean, I know what it means intellectually without Dory. And by myself. I find all Henry solo activities to be on the same level. You know?
What do you mean?
Like, they're all... Essentially, if anything occupies his time... Oh, God. That fell down. That shouldn't have fallen down. Why'd that fall down?
I don't know. I enjoy solo outings with Henry for the most part. And when we were at Descanso, they have hot chocolate, even though it was like 85 degrees yesterday. So it wasn't really hot chocolate weather, but he was excited about having hot chocolate and we had said he could have some. And then he was like, Mama, mm-hmm. Do you remember when we got hot chocolate in New York? And I was like, yeah, at the restaurant. He's like, yeah. And it was like,
I don't.
Yeah, because it was a solo outing.
Oh, I see how it is.
You were
podcasting, I think.
And I had taken him for the morning. And we went to Balthazar, which is a kind of like fancy French bistro in Soho. And I got him hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
We got an omelet and French fries.
Oh, boy.
He wasn't... He didn't really eat... He ate like a couple bites of the omelet. But he really enjoyed the hot chocolate.
Of course he did. It's chocolate.
And he just looked really cute sitting there in the booth. And that was like sweet because like he remembered that. It had become a core memory for him.
Yeah. I mean, he remembers things all the time that I don't. I don't until he reminds me of them.
Right. Well, he has fewer things to remember.
Yeah, but there was another thing he said the other, very recently, I want to say within the last 2 days, he was talking about something that had happened previously. And I was like, what? Oh, do you mean this? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, wow. I don't remember what it was. Big help. Mm-hmm. I like taking him to Disney World, Disneyland by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd prefer to take him with you. You know what I mean? Like, I totally. Like it. I like the activity.
Yeah.
And I like, I would, is it weird to say out loud, but I'd prefer to have you with us all the time. And it's not like a, out of laziness. It's more of like a, out of, I don't know. I just feel like he has a better time when he's got both of us.
That's because, you know, I'm just special.
You're such a good cook.
I'm such a good cook. I don't think my squash soup would have been as much of a disaster.
No one's would have been. Literally anybody
I was
on Earth.
Literally like, what is happening?
It was a clusterfuck. First of all, I mean, where it went wrong was I used too much squash.
It was so thick. It was like a
mashed thick squash. Puree. It was mashed potato squash. With less
Henry,
butter.
Henry was like, doesn't soup usually have more water in it? And then he was like, so we do a weekly menu now where we like write out what we're going to have for dinner every night, which like, honestly, I think helps me more than anything. But also, I think he enjoys like knowing what's coming. And we decided that Sunday night would be soup night. And he goes, but just regular soup.
But then, like we said, last week we were like, oh, you want to have chicken noodle soup? And he's like, yeah, but I don't want chicken in mine. I was like, what?
I think what he actually just wants is broth.
I don't disagree. But he was very helpful cleaning up tonight.
That was cute.
He literally was like getting me each and every dish off the table, which was fantastically helpful.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
We should encourage that.
Well, he was just looking to delay bedtime.
Of course, but it was helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, so we actually got a couple emails that we didn't have time to read last week about our Sleep Number bed.
Yeah. Anybody write in who works for Horsehair Bed Company? No.
No, but Anonymous said Sleep Number beds have a 15-year warranty. If it broke before then, you should be able to get a new one for free.
Thing, I just don't think I want a new one.
I have a friend who had one go out at 8 years and they'd stop making his model, so they had him go to a showroom and pick out whatever he liked. It's not horse hair, but maybe free. I just got a Sattva luxury firm mattress I really like, but their latex core pillow has deflated. Skip it.
See, this is the problem with that kind of shit. You know, it stays undeflatable. Horse hair.
If you read this, why? Please call me Anonymous.
You got it.
We did read it, and we did call you Anonymous. And then Ricardo wrote in. Ricardo had originally written in to ask for career advice for his wife.
Yeah.
And I suggested she become like an insurance doula.
Yeah.
And he said, thank you for reading my message and answering my question about my wife helping with regular folks and insurance and medical issues. I just wanted to answer Matt about our bed. We did have a king dual chamber Sleep Number bed for over 10 years. And I loved it while she, with back issues, found it not helpful after about 6 to 7 years. We now have a king cool top memory foam bed that takes a ladder to climb up to for her. We tried selling the Sleep Number since it cost us over $1,000, but couldn't find anyone to buy it, even for just $100. So apparently my wife and Matt aren't the only ones that don't like Sleep Number beds and are now letting Goodwill do what they want with it.
Wow.
As for Dory's advice, I appreciate the suggestion, and we're going to look into how we can market my wife out here in Corpus Christi to do a pay-for-results arrangement. And while Texas may not like California, we love you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks again for the numerous pods to keep me and my wife entertained while we drive around doing DoorDash, Favor, Instacart, etc.
Ah.
Y'all definitely make the time in the car easier to handle. Ricardo and Jessica in Corpus Christi.
Ricardo and Jessica, thank you guys for doing that stuff. I use DoorDash and Instacart too much. But I fully appreciate it because it like takes all the anxiety out of those tasks for me in life. And it's really like a godsend.
I do think it's interesting, like, how much those things have probably helped, like, neurodivergent people and people with disabilities, like physical disabilities.
Yeah, I mean, it's like amazing to be able to, like, get squash at the house. You know, that's an example.
Sure.
We don't need any more squash.
No, we're good on squash. Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. The WGA strike is over, so
it is over. I don't have a job.
Matt still doesn't have a job.
You're welcome to cancel. I understand.
SAG is going back to the.
Prefer that you don't.
SAG is going back to the negotiating table on Tuesday. Did you hear about this?
Here's a new special. The Matt Got a Job special.
Oh, I like this special.
So if you were a part of the WGA strike special where I would just remind you when the strike was over so you could cancel, I'm now going to make you be reminded of only when I get a job can you cancel. Actually, you can do whatever you want, but God, I need a job. Dodo needs a job too, by the way. We all need jobs. Henry needs a job. Bo needs a job.
I am going to try to find a job.
Me too.
I hope between the two of us.
What are we qualified for? We do podcasts.
It's a great question.
Sure, I've written network television, directed network television, hosted network television, but I can't seem to be qualified for anything.
Okay, well, on that note, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure.
I haven't really worked in 2.5 years.
I'm aware.
It's fucking crazy.
Yep.
All right, continue.
If you support us at the $5 level, you get your name read on the podcast each month. If you support us at the $10 level, you get our Great British Bake Off recap podcast. And if you support us at the $25 level, you also get a fun fact that Matt makes up about you. And you get at any level, at any $5 or above level, you get our regular 2 bonus episodes per month.
Yes, those are in addition. So you get the GBBOs and...
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of us. It's a lot of us. But, yeah, you know...
We gotta figure out how to just, like, suck it out of the weekend. You know, last week when you were going away, we did it during the week.
I was thinking.
I was like, maybe that's a
thing. I think we need to schedule.
Guys, if you were listening to this and it's not Thursday yet, write in.
I think we need to schedule a time for us to do it, this podcast during the week, because we can't do the Bake Off one during the week because it doesn't air till Friday.
You're so mad about it.
I am kind of mad about it, especially because it airs on Tuesday in the UK and like. Why couldn't they just get it together to air on Tuesday in the U.S.?
I don't know.
Why does it take them 3 extra days?
I feel like it's like a probably like a Channel 4
embargo
exclusive
kind of
rights situation, because they have their, you know, the because of, well, you know, here's what I think it is, actually.
Yes.
Cum ratings, cumulative plus 3. So you get the ratings plus 3 days. Which means anybody that DVR'd it over the next 3 days, they better watch it. That's in the plus 3.
Okay.
So like if you didn't watch it, but you DVR'd it, and then you watch it within 3 days, that counts towards the ratings.
Mm.
So I think the fact that it's 4 days
mm-hmm.
probably tells me that it could have been Thursday, but they're like, why would we release that on Thursday? It's going to go Friday.
Sure. Well, whatever. Okay. We will figure this out.
Pastry week is coming.
I'm excited. If you are a $10 Patreon supporter, we're going to try to have this out tomorrow.
Yeah. And complete with regular sound. I'm so sorry. Good God. All right.
Okay.
We're going to thank our patrons. We're at the $5 level or above. So, Simone Vanderwinkle, thank you.
SJV.
Stephanie S.
Steve Harcourt.
Tanya K.
The Holterman Clan.
Tracy Jury.
Valerie Green.
Virginia McFeely.
Whitney Hoffman.
AJB.
Allison Patel.
Audrey.
Aurora and Zelda.
Ainsley.
Bertha Crowley.
CJ.
Claire O'Neill.
Crescent Martin.
Danielle Nusiforo.
Deanna McLean.
Eleanor Powell.
Elizabeth K.
Jane Ennis.
And Jen Brennan. Thank you all very, very much.
We appreciate you.
You know how tired I was last night? And I was like falling asleep during Bake Off.
Yes.
I then came in here and I was like playing the Spider-Man game and I looked up and it was like 12:40.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what? I wanted to be in bed 5 hours ago. What am I doing?
Yep.
Anyway, good night, everybody.
Good night.